Okay, you're live.
Okay, good morning.
Their economic outlook for the future. So thank you very much. We have great confidence in our budget staff. So go ahead.
Good morning, Adriana Prata with the budget office. Can everybody hear me? I'm not very fond of this. Can you hear me well? Sounds good. This is our budget and economic quarterly outlook, but we are combining this presentation with our discussion of the 2015 mid-biennium modification and review of the budget, also known as the readopt. That's why we have an hour and a half set aside for the work session, and I will try to go quicker than usual through the economic part of the report so we can save most of the time for discussing the budget requests for the readopt and the finance team recommendations. This PowerPoint is available on the grid. It's posted on the grid together with narratives for the decision packages and summaries for each of those packages by fund. So our agenda today, we usually start with a general fund outlook, but we are going to reverse that order and start with an overview of the economic situation, global, national, and local economic trends and risks, and then we will discuss the general fund outlook for 2015-16, because that's where we address our current available fund balance for the general fund. And it makes logical sense from there to go into the discussion of readopt budget requests, which are requesting to use some of the fund balance. So we'll go through those budget requests. We have all of the requests presented to you, and then with recommendations from the finance team, which met last week. And then today we need guidance from the board to move forward to finalize the requests that will be recommended for publication. So that's the goal of the work session today. So I'll start with the global economy. Global economic growth remains moderate and uneven. The forecast for global growth was lowered by the International Monetary Fund to 3.1% for 2015, followed by 3.6% for 2016. What's happening worldwide is the Eurozone is experiencing a modest recovery. They're doing better. And Japan is seeing positive growth again. However, when looking at emerging markets, emerging market economies are experiencing challenges. We've seen the slowdown in China and the turmoil that generated in financial markets, weaker outlook for oil exporting countries, and geopolitical tensions and domestic conflicts. And we've discussed these before regularly during our work sessions. The national economy, we've seen definite improvement in the labor market this year. It has slowed down. We've been adding about 200,000 jobs a month in the first part of the year. In the last 3 months, that has slowed down to about 167,000 jobs per month. Unemployment nationwide is down to 5.1%, but we do have some challenges persistent in the labor market. If we look at the share of employees that are working part-time for economic reasons, that's still about a full percentage point above the pre-recession level, that was 3%. And we're still seeing a weakness in labor compensation wage growth. Overall conditions remain positive, however. We see a strong housing market, improved consumer confidence. Consumer confidence was actually at 103 in September. Anything over 90 is healthy. Anything over 100 signifies economic growth. So 103 is a good indicator for September. However, we've seen recent concerns that generated volatility in financial markets, China's slowed growth, and the Federal Reserve policy uncertainty is out on the horizon. At the last meeting, the Feds decided to hold the rates constant. There's discussion about a possible increase coming up at their next meeting in December. So that remains a national concern. The local economy, these are unadjusted. They're not seasonally adjusted numbers. We've grown 6,400 jobs in the past 12 months. This compares September to September over the last year with a strong annual growth rate of 4.4% compared to 2% for the U.S., 2.8% for Washington State overall, and the Portland metro area at 3.6%. And actually, the Portland metro area had a really bad jobs report on the last report. They actually lost jobs. in the metro area this past month. Over the year, we've seen growth in major sectors: trade, transportation and utilities, professional and business services, education, health services, leisure and hospitality. Overall, the county's unemployment rate was 5.7% in September, down from 7% a year ago. And here's our chart with the history of unemployment rates for the county. You can see that gap narrowing significantly in the post-recession times between Clark County and the region and the state as well. So a few major indicators for Clark County's economy: taxable retail sales countywide, they were up 15% in the second quarter of 2015 compared to the same quarter last year. Construction-related sales up 25%, vehicle sales up 17%. Those have been the leading sectors in growth over the last couple of years. Residential building permits through August 2015, Census Bureau data, compared with the same time frame in 14. Single family, 34% increase. Multifamily was a decline. However, we're still seeing very high levels of activity in this area compared to where we would be historically through the year at this time. Housing inventory, still low residential supply. The housing market is still very strong in Clark County and still growing. Low inventory and median home price was up 9.8% year over year. The median home price, according to the regional multiple listing service, was $263,500 for the month of September. This shows a graph of single-family residential permits. It's a 12-month rolling average to smooth that line. It shows that although we're growing in single-family permits issuance, we're still below historical levels. There's definitely a deficit in inventory on the market right now. Hopefully some of the increase in single-family residents will help that supply.
Hey, Don, before you give that chart there, I'm looking at the economy of Clark County versus the unemployment, and I'm thinking that what the economy shows is not back to where it was in the earlier years, but our employment shows that it's back to where it was.
Are you referring to this particular chart?
Yes. So, and that shows our employment.
This is the unemployment rate.
Unemployment.
Correct.
And so therefore, it must be the different ways in which we look at the unemployment.
The unemployment rate is at 5.7%. Looking back historically, it looks like we did have lower unemployment looking back at past years, if that's what you're referring to.
I was actually trying to address the Clark County economy, because the economy hasn't recovered, and yet it must be from the way we count unemployment, it doesn't show the true unemployment, because one chart shows our economy is not back.
Which chart shows that our economy is not back?
The unemployment shows that that's the unemployment chart there.
Yes.
And so when you look at the next chart,
this is just one indicator for the economy. It's single family residential permits. These are new homes being built. So this is just one indicator. There's room for improvement in this indicator.
Okay.
The other one was broader for the economy. It was literally referring to jobs, and this is referring to the housing market. So not all indicators are in as high as we would like them to be. Or this is moving in the right direction, but we're still below historical levels for issuance of permits for single family, and that's what's causing some of the shortage. There's not enough supply on the market for inventory. Thank you for clarifying that. I wasn't sure which charts you were comparing. This is called Clark County economy, but the chart is really for single. It's part of the Clark County economy indicators, but it's not meant to be an indicator for the whole economy. It's just one market indicator for the housing market. These are closed home sales, a five-year history per the regional multiple listing service, 4% increase year over year in closed sales. There's been a slowdown in the number of homes sold, but we're still growing. This is our data for non-residential building permits issued. It includes industrial and commercial activity, and it shows quarterly since 2000. And you can see that the third quarter of 2015, we've actually seen a lower value for permits issued, only at about 8 million, whereas typically for this quarter, in the last few years, we've seen like 22 to 24 million. We just didn't have any large projects this particular quarter. However, looking forward, if you look at measures such as the Architectural Billings Index, which is a leading indicator for construction, it basically measures design activity in the planning stages. For the West Coast, in September, that was 51.7. Anything above 50 signifies expansion. So, and there's about a 9-month lag between that indicator and construction. So we're hoping that this is just a quarter where we just didn't get large projects through the door. But looking forward at leading indicators, it looks like we should continue to see good levels of new activity construction in commercial and industrial area. These are our real estate excise tax collections. They're up 33% year over year when looking at the third quarter of the year, which is good news. You're actually going to see some decision packages in this budget readopt recommendations that are using a little bit of the extra REIT that we have in order to get back to repairs for general fund parks, major needed capital repairs for general fund parks, as well as another decision package for fixing the fairgrounds parking lot. Again, risks remain. According to the International Monetary Fund, the October 2015 outlook, downside risks are actually higher in the world economy than they were a few months ago since our second quarter report. And those risks include national and global risks. Globally, China's economic slowdown, other economies like Brazil, Turkey, also at a risk of recession. The stronger dollar makes U.S. exports more expensive, geopolitical instability that we've discussed before, and also domestically the risks of the Federal Reserve raising interest rates and the impact that can have on financial and housing markets is of concern. So that being said, that concludes the economic portion of our presentation, and we can move into the general fund outlook. So we started the biennium in January of 2015 with unassigned available general fund reserves of 24.8 million. The actual number in the CAFR in our financial statements is 25.2, but $400,000 that gets counted in there actually belongs to dedicated funds in the sheriff's office. We're required to, by accounting standards, to count them as our general fund, part of our general fund reserve, unassigned reserve. However, they're not available to us to spend. They belong to they're from dedicated sources for the sheriff's office. So we're showing 24.8 an adjusted beginning fund balance for January 2015. In this readopt, you will see two decision packages that are updating the revenue forecast. Revenues above forecast are 3.1 million estimated for the biennium. Of that, 1.1 million is that sales tax that we talked about before that came in 2014, but we did not transfer it to the general fund from those dedicated funds until 2015. In the spring 2015 supplemental, the board appropriated 0.8 million for essential needs. In this readopt, you will also see an additional expense contingency request, which is needed to cover healthcare cost increases. However, we are estimating that by the end of the biennium, this will be offset by savings in payroll in certain departments where it will actually net out to a zero. So we're considering that budget neutral. But what really happens is the budget office has to assign additional contingency to the departments that need it, and then the savings from the departments that have vacancies are going to fall back to general fund balance. We need to technically adjust contingency to be able to do that because we can't take budget away from the departments that are underspent and give it to the ones that need more. And though, because of those healthcare increases coming up in 2016, certain departments will need that additional budget. So we're estimating that we're not going to need, at the end of the day, it'll not be an impact on general fund balance, but technically we need to adjust contingency, so we're disclosing that to you. When we discuss today our readopt budget requests, we have finance team recommendations that are basically suggesting to the board to approve requests in the amount of $3.8 million. Most of that is one time, and it's major infrastructure projects that are critically needed or things that were already approved in previous staff board reports. That is subject to board approval. These are just recommendations from the finance team. And the county manager, that would put us at a projected ending fund balance of $23.3 million, and the requirement is $23. What's not in this $23.3, I should say, is an estimated amount of sales tax. Per our new fund balance policy for sales tax, half the amount of the sales tax that's coming above forecast will go to the permanent reserve to shore us up for rainy days. And the auditor's office will actually label that as committed fund balance, so it won't be counted as part of our available reserves. It'll be available to the board in those specific circumstances where things really go below a certain level. However, it would reduce this 23.3. The estimate right now is about 600,000. They're working on figuring out exactly what the number is and marking it as permanent reserve. So in a way, it is available to the board, but under special circumstances. And I just want to disclose that that's part of this 23.3, and it remains to be determined soon. Just want to go through that $3.1 million of additional revenue and show what the puts and takes are, because the $3.1 net that we're adding to the general fund is a sum of things above forecast and things below forecast. Above the forecast, sales tax, $4.8 million above forecast, of which $3.1 million, and this is for the whole biennium, for 2 years estimated, an updated forecast, of which $1.1 million is that untransferred sales tax that we talked about. $669,000 penalty and interest on delinquent property taxes, $582,000 net miscellaneous other revenues, $187,000 recording fees. On the downside, we are reducing corrections revenues by $1.4 million for the biennium, mostly supervision fees in there, some work crew revenues, and some other revenues. The finance team and the county manager are having conversations with corrections about some technical issues regarding their collections to see if some of this revenue could be retrieved. Clerk fee collections, $876,000, forecasted shortfall. We are actually, there's a decision package that's actually eliminating a revenue position from the clerk's office linked to this revenue decline. Most of these are, it's the recent study that came out and the recent conversations around charging fees for persons that are unable to pay, mentally ill or just simply financially not able to pay, and some of the decisions the judges made in order to waive some of those fees. So some of this revenue is probably gone for good on an ongoing basis. Timber revenues down $500,000. These are state DNR distributed timber revenues. We base these off the estimates from the state. Our indirect cost allocations, the revenue side of the general fund that recovers the cost for indirects as calculated by the auditor's office, is estimated $300,000 shortfall. So overall, with all the puts and takes, we are adding $3.1 million to the general fund in revenue forecast. There are two decision packages that do that. BGT-04 and BGT-05 are the decision packages. BGT-04, one of them is reducing corrections revenues. The other one is doing all the other revenues. So in summary, before we get to our budget readopt discussion, economy-wise, our budget is built on cautiously optimistic assumptions. Positive trends continue. However, we're seeing an increase in downside risk since our last quarter report. Our general fund unassigned reserves, 24.8 starting point at the beginning of the 15-16 biennium, above the recommended level. revenues with the $3.1 million that we're adding through decision packages are above the forecast by 1.1%. Departmental expense savings will be offset by increases in 16 healthcare costs, so we're not estimating to have expense savings as we did in previous years because of that healthcare increase, which was estimated at 13.5% for next year. Readopt budget requests exceed available resources, obviously, and we'll look at that. The finance team recommends funding critical items, which keeps reserves close to that required level of $23 million. So the next thing I'd like to do is move into the readopt, but questions first.
You've been focusing so far on the end of 2015, yet there's some inclusion there for the end of, through 2016. Is that our main focus, just simply through 2015? Because I don't see in there the forecasted revenue for property taxes and sales taxes for 2016.
This was a two-year number. Everything we looked at, and when we report to you, it's on a biennial basis. We can show annual numbers as well, but we are reporting within the existing biennium. All of the appropriations we do and the authorizations for departments to spend are within a biennial cycle. So everything we do is projected through the end of 2016.
And I would think that would then it should include the forecasted property tax revenue for that would include new construction in the direction that the board has adopted for planning for a 2% reduction in property taxes. Right.
The current forecast includes new construction and a flat property tax. We have not adjusted that revenue forecast yet. If the board decides on December 1st, when they actually make decisions about the property taxes, to do a revenue reduction in property tax, then we will update that in the spring supplemental. However, that will bring that 23.3 fund balance down by $1.2 million. And I would then strongly suggest that we look at policy direction from the board about reductions in expenditures to be able to offset that if the board wishes to keep fund balance at the recommended level.
Okay, well, we certainly need to be able to focus on what you have prepared here for the budget readopt. But the reason that we adopted the planning direction a while ago is so that our budget office and county manager can plan for the direction that's already the desire for the board, which means new construction, revenue, and the 2% reduction in property taxes, and an increase in expected sales tax revenue. So rather than change things at the last minute and assume we're just going to cut revenue and not do anything about identifying savings, this is the opportunity for us to be able to ensure that we're planning for all of those things ahead of time. Okay. So I assume we're not losing this opportunity now. Yes, an exception that's going to happen later, but that is something that's already been a guidance from the board to ensure we don't miss this opportunity.
In that case, I would suggest that the board looks at the request that the finance team recommended, the 3.8, and perhaps make a choice to not fund some of those and instead be able to do the property tax reduction. And just be able to keep the fund balance at the required or recommended level of $23 million. So, again, this is a board policy decision. If the board instructs the budget office to look at a reduction exercise, we'd have to ask departments. We need some time ahead to work with departments. We'd have to ask them for reduction scenarios and provide those to the board, and that would be a board policy call. To decide which areas would be reduced. It's really not a decision the budget office can make. We don't have any ethical way of making decisions about what to reduce in department's budgets. And to be honest with you, we've looked at all of our resources. We've taken a close look at every general fund transfer and subsidy that goes out to see if the funds that are receiving that subsidy have additional resources that we could reduce subsidies one time. We've pretty much exhausted all of those options. So at this point, we'd have to make a choice between funding some of those packages that we're recommending, not funding some of those, or putting forward a reduction exercise with departments and asking them to find, and then the board would have to look at those proposals and decide what it is that and we can do that as soon as probably the spring supplemental. I don't believe departments would have sufficient time before this readopt to be able to look at their operations and plan out for that.
Okay, you can continue with what we have laid out here, and what this prompts to me is that we need to be able to make sure that our county manager and the board are on the same page when it comes to identifying
sure.
individual areas and additional that would be savings, because basically what we're focusing on our budget readout are those areas where we need to increase and meet some of those needs. For instance, the telephone system that's
right.
critically needed to address those. So I want to make sure that we address both sides of the coin. Identified savings that I have confidence that our county manager can help be proactive in identifying those in addition. Thank you.
I have a question.
Sure.
Okay.
Has it not been your policy and the policy of this board and previous boards to constantly look for cost savings and to constantly look for optimization of productivity and all those other things? This is something that is worked on all the time.
Yes.
And especially since the recession, where we understood that something can strike and it can affect the budget profoundly. And from deep cuts were made mandatory cuts, but through this, it's my understanding as I look back through prior budgets since the deep part of the recession, that it's been county policy to, on an ongoing basis, look for cost savings and look for reductions and look for that optimization. Is that accurate?
I would say it is. I can give you a specific example of how county departments have reduced their budgets and their headcounts. Councilor Mielke asked me a couple days ago about IT. We were adding a new network administrator position, and he wanted to know some history, and so I assembled that history. 2008, the budget for IT was $8.8 million. 2015, it's $6.4 million. In 2009, they had 42 people, or 43 rather. Today, they have 35, and they're still providing the service to the county at a high level. Other departments have looked for savings. I know our county assessor has done a very good job in that regard. Growth in some departments has occurred, but it's been only as required. Now, savings can be enforced. You can achieve savings in a number of ways. And if you know the board's intent is to reduce property taxes by 2%, and my responsibility is to adhere to the board's fund balance policy and to come up with savings that keep us on track to maintain the $23 million that fund balance policy requires. And we will accomplish that.
Yes, and I appreciate that. But it hasn't escaped my notice. The constant ongoing effort has been made to reduce costs, to cut costs, to optimize, to seek higher levels of productivity,
yes.
All which are building cost savings already.
Sure.
So
and, our finance director...
I'm acknowledging that.
Okay.
That
Thank you. Recognize. Thank you. Mark Gassaway produces a trend report, and a number of his indicators show that the number of employees per 1,000 residents in the county is constantly dropping, which means that we're providing service to a larger population without increasing our workforce, and that's a positive indicator. There are other positive indicators in that trend report as well that show that this county is remarkably efficient.
So I'll go ahead and move into the readopt request. The finance team met last week and went through the request, and we classify them into different categories. Some of the requests are classified as already approved by the board, Others that are we thought that are required, such as contractual increases and things that are simply so critical that we cannot not do them. We have recommended requests and not recommended requests. And then we have another category that's budget neutral or technical adjustments. So we've sorted them that way, and I'll go through all of them. On the grid, there is an actual decision package narratives report that looks like this. It's available on the grid. It has the full narrative descriptions for all the packages. And under each package, there is a summary by fund table that basically shows the change in expense, change in revenue, change in fund balance by fund for each of the packages and a total. What's new in this is that we're showing a 17-18 impact. Whereas you're not approving right now 17-18, you're only approving 15-16. That's the implication for 17-18. So if we start a project that has cost in 15-16, but some of the cost extends in 17-18, we think it is very important for the decision makers to see that. Or, for example, if we're adding an ongoing position and the position starts late in the biennium, this biennium, that cost might be lower. However, it's important for the board to see a full biennial cycle cost implication looking forward at 17-18. There is more detail available than this, which is the full coding and all the exhibits. This is just a summary level information. When we publish our requests that move forward, there will be a lot more detail and detailed coding and information. But this is just summary level. And that's available on the grid. So that being said, I'll just go through a quick overview of our readopt process and the purpose of it. The purpose of the readopt is to recognize new budget neutral items such as grants and reimbursable work. We make adjustments to the adopted budget, technical corrections, new information. We update a revenue forecast as needed, and we address critical items and new requests. Whereas all of our other supplementals throughout the biennium are not really meant to address major new requests, the readopt is our major mid-biennium modification of the budget, which is required by the law, and that's the chance for departments to submit new requests. The guiding principles that the Board of County Councilors provided are to maintain maximum financial flexibility, to react to changing circumstances, preserve current service levels, and follow the current plan for fund balance stability. This is our path for the readopt budget. We basically started with a training with the departments. We took in the requests. The finance team met and reviewed the requests and put together recommendations. We had one-on-ones with board members, and today we're at the work session where we're presenting those finance team and county manager recommendations to the board. By Tuesday, November 17th, we have to publish the materials for the packages that are moving forward. we actually will need to have those ready for consent the week before on Wednesday. I believe it's Wednesday, November 11th. So that means that by Friday before, we have to have them available for Rebecca. So we're basically looking at November 6th to have finalized the materials that are going forward for publication. And then Tuesday, December 1st, is our public hearing where the board will approve those changes. Any changes that would be made between the time of publication on Tuesday, November 17th, and December 1st, we have to spell those out carefully at the December 1 session. So, again, we'll have to have a board guidance and recommendations for what to publish finalized by November 6th. Here's an overview of the requests from departments. Decision packages basically requested $10.4 million in total general fund resources. That excludes the revenue forecast update, where the net effect outside the $3.1 million that we're adding in revenue to the general fund, the actual requests for budget appropriations of resources from the general fund is $10.4 million from all the packages. Remaining requests for all other funds are asking for $6.5 million from all other funds. Primarily, requests were related to infrastructure, major maintenance, and replacement projects, updating revenue estimates, updating existing expenditure allocations, restoring general fund subsidies, and maintaining or improving current service levels. The finance team recommends $3.8 million worth of decision packages. one time 3.6, ongoing 181,000. Given our circumstances, we are not recommending any new ongoing FTEs unless they come with revenue funding secured or unless they were previously approved through a staff report by the board. And you can really see this very well. 71% of the 3.8 million recommended packages are related to infrastructure projects, IT mostly. I know this is very small up there, but I'll go through the packages one by one and I'll read out the numbers. So let's start with general fund recommendations. The first five packages at the top of the list are packages the board already approved, mostly through staff reports. We have the SQL Server resource carryover. This is a project that started and was approved last biennium that was not carried forward into the current biennium. That's $166,000 for SQL Server's replacement. Railroad, it's $100,000 that the board committed to a match for bringing in grants. We bring in grants for the railroad at a ratio of 20%. So this will be accompanied by $400,000 in resources from the state to do railroad work for the county. Community planning, Oliver's shop, there was an approved staff report that increased an OA2 from half an FTE to one FTE. Public Works, Camp Hope Improvements, this is a package where the board in a staff report agreed that revenue that came from timber at Camp Hope would be reinvested back into Camp Hope needs, so this is the balance due for that. That revenue came in last biennium. And then the prosecuting attorney's office had some staffing changes. They paid mostly within their own budget for a new deputy prosecuting attorney position. This is just the balance left over. They moved controllables to payroll to pay for that, and this is just the balance left over that's coming out of the general fund. On the next category of requests, the finance team labeled them as required. We thought they were contractual increases or items that are heavily critical for the county. So they are the telephone system replacement. The total cost is $2.4 million. What you're seeing up here is the initial estimate for the share of the general fund. FMS replacement phase one. This is the Oracle replacement or upgrade work. This is phase one of that work that would happen in 2016. 432 is the share of the general fund. The next package for $350,000 is for the jail ventilation system. This is a must-do. Document imaging software, our record content management, that's why I don't use this. Our record content management system is at end of life, must be replaced. This is the general fund share estimate, $318,000. The health building switching and wiring, that's $180,000. Shelter cost increases. These are contractual increases already approved that were not yet budgeted. Part of this is being absorbed within department's budgets. They've moved around, they've rearranged some expenses to as much as they could. So this is just the balance due. We've asked them in the past to absorb a lot of these increases within their own department. This is really the amount that cannot be absorbed anymore within the department's budget. Oracle server licensing adjustment. These are our Oracle licenses. We need to bring some to compliance. Mobile PACS licensing and support, Oracle maintenance, those are all contractual increases in licensing costs. The I-5 railroad bridge inspection, there was a previous package where the board approved the mandatory bridge inspections for the railroad that have to happen. There's one more bridge that we just found out we're responsible for that we also have to pay on an ongoing basis. Intrusion prevention system, our new IT director, Sam Kim, found that we are very vulnerable to IT security. This is a big concern. So this is $35,000 for that intrusion prevention system, and it's a bargain. Fairground swale repairs. This is a must-do. We have three swales that are out of compliance at the fairgrounds. We fixed one in the last re-adopt, in the spring supplemental. This is the second one that we have to fix. Ongoing PAX maintenance, increases in contractual costs, restore pathology budget for the medical examiner. When the medical examiner made budgetary changes and with their new positions that they hired, they moved some controllables over to pay for that, and they reduced mistakenly their pathology budget, which they really need, by $10,000. This is restoring that. The rest of the packages on the required list are actually adding to general fund balance. They're to the good. The highlight here is the clerk's office giving up their revenue position as their revenue collections are down. So that helps the general fund. The next series of packages for the general fund, revenue forecast update, the budget office, those are the two packages that are updating revenue forecast that we talked about. Updating corrections revenues downwards by $1.4 million and updating all other revenues, including sales tax, upwards by $4.5 million. The next budget is to increase contingency budget by $2.1 million for the general fund, and this is one that we are not calculating in that $3.8 million worth of requests. That we're not including that impact there. We're considering it budget neutral, because there will be equivalent savings falling to fund balance. So the $3.8 million does not include, of recommended requests, does not include this $2.1. We consider it a technical adjustment. the rest of the packages are all budget neutral to the general fund. There are a couple of packages down at the bottom here, the $200 and the $83,000. That are technical adjustments that are actually adding to fund balance. There was a position miscoded in our old budgeting software system to the general fund instead of MPD parks, so we're fixing that. That gives us $83,000 back. On the recommended package list, there are two packages recommended. The one that has zero impact is adding a finance manager for DCD, for community development, which is much needed. The portion of it, about 10% of that position, is general fund. That portion of it is budget neutral for the general fund. They're doing it within existing budget. The $300,000 recommended request is one-time cost. Is there some way to turn the system off? Or perhaps folks can just turn off their mics and make sure they're turned off.
I would keep your microphone on.
The rest of us can turn them off. Mine is off, I believe. Is it off?
It should be on.
It should be on.
Tap it to see if it. No, tap the head. There.
There you go.
Oh, so it is on.
Please leave it on.
Okay.
So it's still on? Can you start?
I think so.
No.
Okay, it is on.
We want to capture it for the grid.
Because we have a recorder up there. Tap.
Oh, the recorder is
tapped into these.
I see. Okay. So community planning has a request for $300,000 one time for additional comp plan costs due to their workload this biennium. We are actually recommending to put that money into contingency rather than putting it into the department's budget and then assigning to them as needed during the biennium if the costs do exceed their current budget level. Those are the only two packages for the general fund on the recommended list. Here's the list of general fund requests that are not recommended. And just as an important note, this is not the entire list of needs from departments at the county. For example, with IT projects, Sam Kim had a list for us of 30 or 40 requests. So we basically sat down with him and we said, let's narrow this down. We don't have resources for all the requests. The list of needs is much larger than what you're seeing on this not recommended list. So to go through the not recommended list, Public Works is asking for the, this is parks. This is the general fund parks This is the general fund parks maintenance that is still due from the general fund to MPD. MPD is currently supporting the general fund parks maintenance for general funds. And so this is a reminder that this liability that's owed the finance team didn't feel like we had enough resources at this point on an ongoing basis to restore any of that. This request will come back, and eventually we need to honor that obligation. The sheriff's office asking for 8 deputy positions. The signal upgrade at the crossing for the railroad. Overtime from settlements. We actually have paid anything that was retrospective on overtime from settlements has been paid for the sheriff's office. This is for because of increases in salaries, future overtime costs will be higher as well because they depend on the salary rate. So this is an increase for that. Additional parks administration funding, another railroad grant, which would bring in match dollars, a study for the central precinct relocation, adding an animal control officer, employee safety upgrades. This is a request you've sent before from the clerk's office regarding their reception area, security and safety for employees that work there. The sheriff's office also asking for a dedicated FTE for IT and risk management, also asking to turn 2 project positions that are currently supporting region into permanent positions that would be needed to support the system, adding a parks planner grant specialist to the parks program, a $50,000 assessor's request for restoring funds that fell to fund balance in the general fund in 2012, out of their budget, converting images to scanned images required for the railroad. Eventually, we will have to do this. I believe that it's something that we can possibly postpone for a little bit, but the Federal Railroad Administration is requesting that we convert these images to a scanned format instead of having the paper sitting around Jeff's office. Public Works volunteer program request, clerk's office request to add a court assistant, environmental services request for a vegetation management storage, prosecuting attorney's office asking for additional budget for paying for facilities charges that are not regularly covered by facilities ongoing work, and Breton Canyon Park costs of $5,000 ongoing. So this is the list of requests not recommended at this point by the finance team and the county manager. Looking at other funds, we have a very long list for other funds for recommendations. The first 6 requests are requests that the board has already approved through staff reports. Road fund, adding traffic signal technicians, converting some FTEs to full-time, adding an engineer to the road fund. Those are already approved by the board in previous staff reports. Conservation Futures, Paradise Point surplus property, Clean Water Office Assistant, they're adding that within their own existing budget to Clean Water, and Camp Hope Improvements. This is just some of the packages that you see a zero on. It's just the corresponding entry of a general fund request that actually goes to another fund as revenue in and expense out. So it will be a zero net impact. On the required list, you will see the share of cost of all other funds other than the general fund for the major IT infrastructure projects that are the telephone replacement system, telephone replacement system, the Oracle replacement or upgrade, and the records content management system. So you'll see a long list of entries for those packages, which is the corresponding cost for funds other than the general fund. Other highlights in here, I'm not going to go through each individual package. We've got entire pages of them, but as highlights of these, we also are adding contingency to other funds other than the general fund in order to be able to have sufficient budget to cover the healthcare cost increases estimated for 2016. We are recommending to use some REIT for the first time in a long time, some additional REIT revenue in order to address basic needs for capital repairs for general fund parks that have no other available source for those repairs. And that request is about $240,000. We are also recommending to use REIT, real estate excise tax, to fix the fairgrounds parking lot, which must be fixed. It's $287,000. Let's see what else is a major. We're doing some, there are some debt update packages. One of them is recognizing just updated interest payments and principal payments. We're updating the indirect charges based on the auditor's office calculation of indirect costs, whatever those new charges are. They're a revenue loss to the general fund, but they're lower costs for departments overall for funds outside the general fund, which is good news for departments outside the general fund. So on the not recommended list for all other funds, we have a couple of major things. Parks asking for $2.5 million for parks acquisition and development from real estate excise tax. The finance team does not consider at this time that we have that much resource available in real estate excise tax. Real estate excise tax supports the bulk of our debt payments, and we have to be very mindful of how volatile of a revenue it is. So we've agreed to start using some of that for primary needs like the capital repairs for general fund parks, but we're not quite yet at a point where we're confident enough to be able to cover a large amount of new parks development and acquisition. I believe that, and then what you see there is the other half of the adding the volunteer program request. That's just the other half of the general fund package on that list. So that's the list of what's not recommended for now for all other funds. So next steps for us, if we need to have those materials, as I mentioned, finalized for publication by November 6th so that the following week they can go to consent and the week after that they can go to public hearing requests so we can publish them. And the public hearing will be Tuesday, December 1st. At that point, the board will also discuss their property tax options and make recommendations, decisions about where to go with the property tax options for 2016. You'll have the conversation for the general fund, road fund, and as the parks board, you'll also have that conversation about the parks levy and the conservation futures levy as well. So today what we need is board feedback on proceeding with which packages you would like us to move forward with for publication. If you're looking at a property tax reduction to give us guidance whether perhaps some of these packages that are recommended in the 3.8 amount would not be recommended to make room for that, and still be at the level of fund balance required, or if you would like us to proceed with board direction to start requesting departments for scenarios for reductions that we can present to you, so you can make a policy decision on those. Time is very short for us to be able to do that on a countywide general fund scale by December 1st, so we might have to follow up with that in a spring supplemental.
What will we see being requested? I can see the one, because we have a lot of different categories. So we have some already approved by BOCC.
Right.
A couple of those, I wonder when that happens, but I'll follow up on that. So then we have the list of requirements.
Correct.
Is it the intent to see everything that's required incorporated?
Yes. So the $3.8 million includes items already approved by the board, items that are labeled as required, and items that are labeled as recommended, as well as budget neutral or technical adjustments. So on those, the board can basically say no to anything that is on the recommended or required list that has a fund balance impact. There are a couple of them that, for example, the contractual increase rates for the Southwest Humane Society for Animal Control, there are a couple of them that are truly contractual obligations. But The board could, of course, look at some of the other projects, such as a telephone replacement or some of the other projects. But again, the finance team judged those as being absolutely critical to the county. So that is your top call.
Thank you. I just wanted to know when it comes to us, what all will be included. And I didn't want to have there be any misunderstanding.
Right.
No, the whole bunch to sort at one time.
It is, and you'll find it very easy in the report, in the narrative report we have together. We have full descriptions as well as a summary by fund. It's very easy to read. It's a really good read. Departments did a really good job presenting their case. And then you have the commitment list that we handed out to you as well, which are sorted this way. So if you feel like you need to take more time and come back to us with questions, you can. We just need to have guidance for which packages have two votes to move forward.
Yes. In the past, we had the opportunity to have one-on-ones or have the department heads come and talk to the board. Are you going to do that again?
We had one-on-ones. You had one-on-ones with us with budget on Monday this week. We actually had opportunity for elected officials to come meet with the finance team. None of them requested to. And we've actually told them at the August 20th meeting, the training, that electives can also approach the board members for championing for their requests, and internal county manager departments can approach the county manager to talk about their requests. So if you feel like there are specific requests that you would like to speak with specific elected officials or department heads, we can definitely set that up for you if you have additional questions. On December 1st, there's time during the public hearing as well for electeds to address the board about their requests if needed.
In the past, we had the opportunity to allow each department head to come at this time or after this time and state their case for a second time for what they believe they needed.
I believe you're referring to the adopt budget. When we do the adopted budget, we have a public hearing that's especially dedicated for the electeds.
Yeah.
I'm not aware of another mechanism used previously.
So if we were to adopt what you have here, that becomes the budget being carried forward, and I won't get a chance to talk to you.
What you can do, we have all the way until the end of the first week in November for you to gather additional information and have conversations. Not only that, but what we publish on November 17th for public hearing can be changed. You can change that on December 1st at the actual hearing. So there's ample opportunity from now until December 1st. You are not going to be obliged to any of these because you said yesterday.
That was my concern. I didn't want to adopt something that is still fluid. We want to keep it fluid so we can...
Yes, it'll stay fluid. Yes.
Thank you.
Adriana, if you can pull up slide 13 and then we'll maybe also access slide 14. That talks about the 2015-2016 unassigned revenues.
Yes.
What I'm looking for there is the revenue forecast for 2016.
It's in the 3.1. The 3.1 is a two-year number that we're adding to the general fund.
So that what I'd be able to do is one-on-one, learn a little bit more about the new construction property tax revenue and the sales tax or the breakdown of that.
Right.
To ensure that we are paying attention to the revenue, because most of this, appropriately so, is focusing on expenses. So the revenue side is something we're very interested in to make sure that we can foresee.
Yeah, a lot of work went into this number. Actually, the 2016 new construction number, it's pretty much finalized. It won't change by much. Our property tax revenue forecast already includes almost fully calculated number from the assessor's office, which is a given.
What percentage increase that?
7%.
7%?
Mm-hmm, in new construction. And that's just a small part of the property. It's about $1 million for the year. And that's already something that we've included into the 15-16 budget from the beginning of adopting the budget. That was our forecast. It was already in there. It's not new revenue above forecast, the new construction.
I just want to know what that breakdown is. So we can...
It was right on the forecast, probably within a couple of $1,000.
I see that our new construction sales taxes mm-hmm. has increased by 25%.
Right.
Which is a good sign. We've got a lot of people out there working on new construction.
Right.
And new construction translates to new valuation, new assessments for right. property tax increases as well, revenue increase without increasing rate. So I want to be able to spend more time afterwards with one on one.
Sure. We can go through the revenue projections, absolutely, line item by line item. I can provide the information to the counselor, yes.
And give it to us. And
yes, I can email it, absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Because you going through it three times, and if I actually have it in my hand with the calculations and the approximate details, I can call you and ask you what it means.
Sure. I want to make sure I don't misunderstand. I don't speak for the other counselors. When I say one-on-one, I'm talking about my own diligence with budget office and a county manager. And so.
Sure, we will email the information and meet with you.
So. For my fellow counselors.
No problem.
As well.
Okay. Sure.
That's my own due diligence. One-on-one.
Sure.
So,
counselor, we have the one-on-one program. Question that I would think about asking, and if you're there in a work session, you will help enlighten me also. And there might be things I ask that you don't think to ask. So sometimes on a one-on-one, I have to disadvantage or think to one answer. Or you end up tripling your work to see it all at one time.
That's why we're having a work session, so there's opportunity for board members to speak with each other and confer and agree.
Maybe down the road in the next couple of weeks, we'll know whether we need a one-on-one or another work session.
Sure. And so this is the extra communication I have to do due diligence to communicate is just simply not in it, to substitute for any other meeting that involves all three counselors. It's just simply my way of saying I will communicate my homework to the satisfaction of what I feel is important for me to cast a very informative vote on each of these areas.
Right, and I believe you've seen some of our work before. I've provided to you our sales tax projections and property tax projections. They really haven't changed from the last time we provided them. The piece that has changed was the indirects that were calculated by the auditor's office that are $300,000 less, and then some of the departmental revenues, once we send our estimates out to departments and they send them back to us, that came back with additional information. So the sales tax and the property tax is exactly what you've seen before in the spreadsheet.
And I assume that you're making progress. It's a long-term process to go through the performance-based budgeting to be able to identify those programs that have been adopted incrementally over the year, just accumulated, and we're still doing that, and we've never revisited those. So potentially, we may be doing some tasks that no longer are appropriate for us to be able to expand resources there, so we can expand resources instead in some of these more pressing visible.
We met with departments between July and September, and we've given them workbooks to work on collecting and updating information about the programs that they do, the mandates associated with those programs, and whether or not they're using performance-based, any performance measures for their programs. We have not framed that or envisioned that as an exercise to find reductions. I think it would be the wrong incentives for a department to work through updating their information. But we hope that for decision makers down the road, sometimes it might be a few biennial budget cycles before we can get there. There would be a way to make better informed decisions instead of baseline budgeting to actually be able to look at the full realm of programs and how they align with board priorities and which ones are high priority, which ones are not high priority. So I think that at the end of the day, that's the goal. But we haven't framed that as an immediate short-term goal of
I agree. And the the lights for us all to be able to see what are we all doing so that we are able to focus on major and the majors, put those resources where they are smartest, and that is only possible if we can shine the light on those all those areas we haven't looked at in a very long time.
And I agree with you. I think the county needs to step away from the baseline budgeting approach that blindly carries forward the cost of services without looking how those services align with the board priorities and start to make decisions about the full budget spectrum.
Yes.
I agree with you.
We don't know what we don't know, and this will help us to fill in some
of
these gaps. So regarding turning on that light, the point of what I'm asking for is that each of us get the same level of detail and a report. The purpose of that, so when we get into a discussion in a public hearing, we all have the same amount, the same structure of information, so that as we individually want to indicate what we're interested in, we fully know what information is out there in the same amount of detail.
Absolutely. We'll make sure that we get that information to the county manager and he provides it to all of you.
I'm asking him rather than you. That's a protocol thing. So I have a question about page 24.
Sure. Let me actually get there with the presentation. Deputy positions for the sheriff's office?
Yes, not recommended. Deputy position, sheriff's office, $883,000.
Right, these are eight deputy positions.
Eight positions.
Eight, correct.
And
the sheriff's office is still below where they were before the reductions. They're still down.
Yes, they are. And so why would the sheriff come forward with requests that we're saying we're not recommending to go forward? Because here's the issue. It's possible we don't fill eight positions we need, or the sheriff, whoever that is. And how we pay for it the other way is with overtime.
Right.
And so if we're understaffed in a department, especially as critical one as the sheriff's department, we're going to pay for that one way or another. And I worry about two things. The excessive costs where when somebody goes into overtime, they go outside of their base salary. And the other issue that I get concerned about is officer safety. So the ranks can only be so thin before somebody goes out on a call and they don't have backup close enough. And for public safety officials, all of them, that has to absolutely be a key factor. This is not just about money in the public safety. So why would we be saying we don't have that?
Because we don't have right now the ongoing resources. We've actually done quite a few additions to the sheriff's office. The board has added 22 positions last biennium and some major IT projects. And the overtime issue, they always have overtime. And their overtime has been going up. It's true, over time. But there would always... Right. But there's always, regardless of the amount of staffing, it's the nature of work in the sheriff's office that will always require a certain level of overtime that won't go away by hiring additional new positions. And yes, they've had an increase in those overtime needs. And I agree with you, the need is still there for law and justice. At this point, we just, as a finance team, looking at the requests that we've had, and we have prioritized law and justice a lot over the last 2 or 3 years. There are some other critical and required items that just came to the front momentarily, but I agree with you that this is a long-term need. And we encourage departments, even when there are no resources, to submit their requests and let us know that the need is there.
I'm not criticizing not recommend.
Right.
I'm just hearing us talk about how we can keep pinching the budget.
Right.
And although I agree in principle make the best use of the money we have to keep taxes as low as possible to get the job done, but there are examples of things that are the underlying basic quality of life. So, and people feeling safe or safer is critical for our residents and citizens. I live there in the city, so I don't get sheriff response, but I feel the same way about all law enforcement. So that's not a place that we should be so worried that we don't have adequate budget. Just my editorial asking for a while.
Sure, and those 22 new positions to help rebuild the sheriff's office after losing dozens of officers over the previous years is a direction we want to continue to
right.
reinforce. And so those 22 positions already included 8 new deputies. So we want to be able to continue to fund those new positions going forward as our community, which is booming right now, a lot of new construction, a lot of new growth, a lot of new wealth being created. As that step-by-step comes online, we want to make sure that the sheriff's office, which is one of the most fundamental roles of county government, is strengthened, that we support our good sheriff, John Captain, I'm so glad you're here, my cook. It is a priority, and as we do step-by-step, sequentially, rebuild that crucial department. It's high on my priority list, but it's step by step. Let the community create that new wealth, and then we have those new resources to apply.
So then, just stepping back from the cloud for 1 second here, do we have your permission, unless we hear otherwise, to move forward for publication purpose only for the public hearing request with these requests as recommended by the finance team? And again, these are fluid, they can be changed all the way until the December 1st hearing.
Is that a yes?
Well, we still have a long way to go in this process. So perhaps except for the sheriff's office being on the non-recommended list, I would want to see that however many we've added, we started way behind the eight ball in personnel. So I'd like to see that changed in the category, but I may not get support on that. So if we have to recognize that we need to keep pace with that in the rebuild. Understand we've okay. done a lot. There's clearly more to be done.
And I want to thank all of the finance team and our stellar budget office for all the work that's gone into this. To sort this out, to be able to, for the whole team, really, to come forward with a budget that balances, that allows us to retain our best practices reserves, over $23 million. Very grateful for that. I think the homework that's gone into this is solid, it's good. I think we have consensus here for us to be able to publish this. I don't know of any manager, any government, that if you ask them the question, do we always look for savings? Are we always trying to find efficiency? I can't imagine one of them saying, no, we don't. We all do. Continually. It's a continual challenge. And our success has been clear over the last several years. This team has done phenomenal things. And we're very grateful that this team is successful. It's well equipped. The new infrastructure that's already been upgraded and in the process. process of being upgraded to phone system, for instance. I have the replacement for our MS system, the replacement for Oracle, all of that in the works, right on target. So covering the bases, thank you very much. Mark, let's get you ready to see something.
Yeah, I'm itching to talk here. This office used to have five folks in it. You only see four now. 20% reduction in staff, and look at the quality of the work product. I've got to elaborate a little bit. Lisa is in a new role, a budget analyst now, and as opposed to an administrative assistant. Trista, you've been here, what, less than 6 months? Sarah, how long have you been?
8 months.
8 months. Adriana stepped up into the budget director position, so essentially we have a brand new budget office.
Yes.
And I'm just amazed at the work they've done.
Yes.
So I just want to thank you. Meeting with all the departments, getting an inventory of programs, I think was a huge step towards the future of budgeting in this county, and I couldn't be more pleased.
I agree, and there's someone else here I'd like people to thank, and that is, we affectionately refer to him as Budget Bob, who has set this team up for success. And one of the things he's most proud of is the capacity, the strength, the expertise, the stellar dream team that he left behind here in order to make sure that this kind of success can continue. So I'm very grateful to Bob Stevens for that investment in these individuals here.
Yeah, I think the term for that is legacy.
Yeah.
So when he departs this county, that'll be his legacy right there. So.
Well, he's not gone
yet. No, well, I'm not suggesting he move on either.
He's back there in the corner there, seeing out the headlines. Bob, thank you very much for setting us up with such a great budget on this team. Great, well done.
And I have to thank the departments, too, for working with us because we no longer have a budgeting software. So all of these reports were developed with the volunteer help of Tom Scullion in the auditor's office who put it together for us, and with the patience of departments who went back and forth of us over numerous iterations of the right coding and the right narratives. And so it's I really appreciate departments' help on this.
And not only did you get this done well, but you did it manually with the obsolete tools that the budget office has been living with before we upgrade to the new systems that can streamline and make it so much easier for you to work with. So thank you for doing it with tools that are old and obsolete and manual.
I think that's a wrap.
Thank you very much.